and emeralds and all kinds of things, and they'd haul them back to Spain. And Spain was one of the most wealthy, most powerful countries at that time because of that. And what these ships would do, it was not safe to just have one or two ships out there by themselves. So they would wait till they had a whole fleet. And this particular fleet, there was 28 ships sailing together. They would protect each other. Some of the ships were strictly for protection, but most of them actually carried loads of silver and gold and those things. And anyhow, this group got caught in a hurricane. Most of them survived. Most of the ships made it through. But there was a few that went down, and the Atosha was one of them. And it was one of them with the biggest loads of all the ships. So Mel and his family, they even went to Spain, went to Europe, researching this ship, what was on it. They had record of what each ship was carrying, how much it was worth, and how much it weighed, and all those things. So they knew exactly what they were looking for. Where exactly, they didn't quite have figured out yet. And year after year, day after day, they would go looking for the Atosha. And every day that Mel came down to the docks, today's the day. Him and his family and a couple of co-workers, and every day, today's the day. Didn't matter what had happened, didn't matter what the day was like, didn't matter what the weather was like. Today's the day. And as the story goes, after several years, he finally found a few coins. He found some little bit of gold chain, not a whole lot, but he did start finding some things. And what he would do, he would go to people that he knew maybe, or people he thought might be interested, and they'd say, hey, we're starting to find some things, but we need fuel for the boat, we need scuba equipment, we need money. So what people had the opportunity to do was give him money to invest in his treasure hunting. And after a while, the media got a hold of this, and they said, dude's a scam, he's trying to rip you off, he's just wanting your money. He'd find a few things, and they'd say, he planted those things. He took them down there and pretended like he found them, come back, get some more money. And year after year after year, and he'd think he was getting somewhere, and then something would happen. And after he found a few things, one time he found a few bigger things. He found a bigger gold chain and, I don't know, some more silver coins and things. The government, of course, found out about this, and they decided, well, if he's going to find what he's looking for, there's a lot of value there to be taxed. So they said, all right, Mel, if you want to keep searching, that's fine. But you're going to have a government agent on your boat at all times so that anything you find, the value can be assessed and you can be taxed, and you're paying the guy's salary. Okay. So he keeps going every day. Today's the day. Come on, government agent, let's go treasure hunting. And they'd go. And about 11 years into it, they still hadn't found anything, not a significant amount. Just enough that he found a few little things. He started a treasure museum gift shop thing down in the Keys to try and help support his treasure hunting. And about 11 years into it, I believe it was, his son died. And so he had to go work through that, you know, and his son was one of the people that was with him all the time. His family is, I'm not sure how many kids he had, but all his children and his wife, and they were all involved. But every day after that, today's the day, every time he'd show up, today's the day. And some of his coworkers knew that they were getting close, and other people were catching a drift that he was getting close to finding this big, they call it the mother load of shipwrecks. So the competitors started up. The government agents really kept track of what was going on. One of his co-workers quit and decided he'll start his own operation. He's going to look for it too, compete against him. And he knew everything that Mel knew, so he had a pretty good shot at getting to this treasure before Mel did, as good as anybody else would have, because he'd worked with Mel every day, and he'd seen how Mel was. Today's the day, every day, no matter what was going on. And I think that type of character is something that we can... I didn't tell you if you found it, did I? That type of character is something that we need as Christians. If you look up the definition of persistence, it's a firm or obstinate continuation or continuance of a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. The news media calling you a liar, calling you a cheat. Perseverance, steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. In today's society, everybody wants success now. They don't want to wait. And I think we see a lot of scriptures, and the verses that I have, there's, I'm sure, a lot more. This is not anywhere near all of them. But we see different stories, different people in the Bible that practiced, or they had this character trait of persistence and perseverance. They did not give up. But see, in Genesis 32, 24 to 28, how Jacob wrestled with, he didn't realize it at the time, but he was wrestling with God. He would not give up. Finally, God touched his hip and made him give up. And these are not in the right order, but they're not necessarily. Proverbs 12:27, whosoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent will get precious wealth. Talking about the fact that a slothful person might get a little bit, but they're probably going to lose it. Hosea 6:3, let us press on to know the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. James 1:1-4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting, my brethren. Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If as soon as we encounter a trial of some kind, we give up on our faith, we aren't going to be able to gain the patience that we need to continue on. Hebrews 12:1-2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I guess something I've read that often but didn't think about is, when I'm facing some kind of trial or something, I guess sometimes it's easy to think, well, we're the only one that's gone through this, and we're not. There's a lot of other people that have faced the same thing. If a time ever comes when persecution comes to the Christian church here in the United States, we're not the first ones. We're not the only ones. It's happened often to many people. Proverbs 24:16, the righteous fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. The idea there of just of not giving up. When you get knocked down, heard a guy say the other day, when you get knocked down, try to make sure you fall on your back, because if you can see up, you can get up. Don't give up. So how do we remain persistent? How are we able to do that? Just a couple of things that I thought of that is what we're doing tonight. Surround yourself with like-minded people. If you hang out with people that, if you're always around people that aren't Christians and you don't get yourself around other Christians, it's not long you're thinking like the people you're with, not the people you want to be, not the person you want to be. Work for something worthwhile. I was trying to find this quote from D.L. Moody, and this isn't exact, but basically he says, we shouldn't fear not being successful. We should fear being successful at something that doesn't matter. There's a lot of people that are very good at what they do, But how do they use that to make a difference in somebody else's life? Another way to remain persistent is to set a goal. And this can apply, all these can apply, obviously, to our spiritual life, but anything in life. If we want to start a business, if we want to, whatever it is, we want to learn something, a particular thing, the goal should be written. If you write them down, there was a study that was done from Harvard. I forget how many students they did this with, but they checked with those students how many of them wrote down their goal for life after college. And only 3% had done that. 3% had written it down. And they checked with that same group of people 20 years later, and those 3% made more money than the whole rest of the group all put together because of what their goals that they had set down. And that was just, obviously, financial is just one area. Goals need to be challenging. I can't set a goal to drive from here to my house. It's generally speaking not much of a challenge. I get in the car, I drive home. So we can't make them too easy, because then they're, what are you going to work for? But if you make them too hard, you're not going to get there. And they have to have a time frame. You have to set the goal and decide when you're going to do it. Once you've done that, and you've written it down, and maybe you've shared that with somebody, it makes it much harder to give up on those goals. I guess this is just something I've been working on. It seems like when I was in high school, man, I was going to do all kinds of stuff. I was going to, man, get out of high school and tear it up. I've been digging holes for 15 years. It's like, okay, whatever. And why is that? Why do we have to lose that drive? And we can do the same thing in our spiritual life. Maybe we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray for somebody, and they just don't become Christians. Do we just give up, or do we keep on going? And it doesn't matter what, if it's praying for someone's salvation, praying to work through an issue that we're dealing with. The whole idea of persistence is something that we very much need. I very much need to work on. So does anybody think Mel Fisher found his treasure? 17 years later, I think it was 1985 or 86. 17 years later, he found it. And up until just recently, they were still hauling stuff up from the treasure that he had found that people said, you're nuts, you're a liar, you're trying to rip people off. But he knew what he was looking for. He had a goal in mind, and he was not going to give up. He was doing that for earthly treasure. Am I that convinced of my spiritual goal? Am I that convinced that the treasure at the end of this journey is worth fighting for? I guess it was just a good reminder for myself of what we need to do and how we need to look at the Christian life. It's not just come to church, sing a few songs, say a little prayer, listen to a sermon, and then go on with life. There's a whole lot more to the Christian life than just that. So that's all I have for tonight.